This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 44 of Saturday Supplement this week, because we're doing it on a Saturday. Yeah.
We haven't done a Saturday edition this year, have we yet, Simon?
Oh, don't ask me questions like that.
We haven't done one, I'm pretty sure. It's a way of saving Izzy money doing a Saturday supplement, because I usually get the Saturday Guardian anyway, and that's exactly what I got.
But you normally get a Sunday paper anyway.
I'm hoping the Saturday paper will see me through to next Sunday. And if it doesn't, can I survive on just one weekend paper? Because it is the weekend Saturday, because Sunday's the week beginning.
No, Sunday's the end of the week.
No, Sunday's the week beginning, a bit like this intro.
Oh, I see. You've made a little pun about my lack of aptitude when it comes to presenting a podcast.
To be fair, I haven't let you spoke yet. I haven't even let you spoke. I don't let you spoke because you and bicycles are just wrong.
So basically, we wanted to watch the Grand Prix. So we decided to do a Saturday version this week. And then they abandoned the race.
They sort of abandoned. We've kind of assumed that they've abandoned the race.
It got wet.
It's not so much that. It's more sort of like, the whip. Oh, that's good. Well done.
Thanks.
Let's do an impression of the race then, right? Okay. You do the rain.
Okay.
I'll do some cars going trip. Okay, go. It's almost like you're in the basement, isn't it? Apologies if you're listening to that in headphones. I think we should do more mood scenes like that. I think we could do, like, bird song. So you do bird song and I'll do Peer Gynt. Go on.
Off my land. Come and have a go. Come on, come on.
Why is it full of cockneys? stop doing that. That's annoying. Stop it.
Whoa, cracking bird. Because that's what birdsong is, isn't it? It's territorial and flirting.
Well.
I was translating for our dear readers.
A light little bird. So, you know, there's really little ones who sort of roll around in the dust and basically have no meat on them. They're basically smaller than mice. I just want to get them and I just want to hold them really gently and just squeeze. Just to get that little cheapy cheap out of them.
Why don't you just buy a hooter?
Because, ducks aren't the same. That noise, it does sound like you're, even on the phone, because you were just going like that. And that is, you know, the kissy noise that one does down the phone to, like, your mum when you were five. It does sound like you're squeezing the head of a budgie.
Did you buy a paper?
Obviously.
What?
Well, you know what I'd buy? I buy it anyway. It's The Guardian.
Oh, right. I bought the Saturday Times.
Really? No, we haven't done that before, have we?
I'm not sure.
Because I thought you were going to head for the FT, because that's a really good paper to get on a Saturday.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go out yesterday because I was going to miss qualifying. So I used what was in the house.
And that was just in your house. You don't know where it comes from. It just sort of creeps in and spreads its supplements all over your floor.
You can do the startup, can't you? Sound like traction control kicked in halfway through that.
It did indeed. Are we allowed traction control anymore? Because new cars, whoa, no. It's so good to see slicks back. It is good to see slicks back. Because slicks look like they're made of licorice and you can just bite into them and go bang. So, Simon, what sort of supplements do you get in the Saturday Times?
Echinacea.
Really?
Yeah. And lavender.
Why
is it like herbalists and homeopathists and twits of that nature? When I talk to them, oh, what would be good for insomnia? Or what would be good? And I just make something up. What would be good for a bad knee? And they always say lavender. It's almost as if they're making it up as they go along.
That's because they're all secretly old women with urinary tract difficulties.
You fed me lavender ice cream once.
Oh, that was weird. What was it called?
Can't remember what it was called, but it had flowers in it, and it cured me of everything that was wrong with me.
It did.
Online death. That's what I'm cutting out. Online death is common. A monster kills you during a game, you stop updating your Facebook page. But what if you die in real life? How will your internet friends know you have logged out of the world altogether?
That's really cool.
And it's all about how to let your online virtual friends, which we all have these days, admittedly, readers.
I've got quite a few of our own readers are my online virtual friends. Hello!
Yeah, you were stepping on my very subtle point there by stamping on it with big Dr. Martin boots.
Your little flower of an idea is now crushed into the gravel path of destiny.
Basically, there's a couple of things you can do. One guy has put all his contacts on a USB key, which he's given to his kid and says, if I die, plug this in and let everyone know. And then there's a couple of websites as well. Deathswitch.com, which will automatically send emails to all your contacts if you don't check it for a specified period. So what if, for instance, your broadband goes down for 3 weeks and you've set it, oh, if I haven't been alive 3 weeks, I must be dead. All your mates are going to go, he's dead, he's dead. No, I've just got a really bad connection.
I love the fact that people are actually concerned after they've died that they might be considered slightly rude not returning an email. I mean,
last year one of my friends died and it did actually crop up as a thing as to how we were going to let all his online friends know because he had a Facebook account and everything. So it does crop up. And there's another one called slightlymorbid.com. This one's password activated, so someone has to log in and put your password in to say that you're dead.
Aww.
So quite an interesting article, but they've illustrated it with a picture of a skeleton hand using a mouse, which kind of undermines it quite a bit, really.
See, I've got green and white. That is what today's interior design trends is, green and white.
What, to look like a polo?
There's green and white things everywhere, and that's amazing.
I don't like green and white. It reminds me of something, and I don't know what it reminds me of, but it's something I hate. I know that much.
Snot. I've got so many good articles. I've got an interview with Herbert. I've got this really lovely, it's just really nice photography. For some reason, some dude's just gone around photographing radio presenters, which is quite a nice idea, really.
Cool.
They're really good pictures.
I've got a photo spread of power stations. And I love power stations. I think they're amazing to look at. And the one in Albury, I think, is a design classic, in fact. I think it'd be a shame when they knock that down.
I just like the one in Didcot, because that's close. And
it's a good one.
It makes it rain in Didcot. Which Didcot is such a hold. But my main one, the one I want to cut out and keep, is actually in the Dear Lucy section about relationships. This is the letter, Mad About Mad Men. I'm so in love with the Don Draper character in Mad Men that it is hampering my ability to go out with real men in the real world. They just don't measure up anymore. What should I do? Apparently, it's very appealing for some women for their lover to have a lot of secrets and be all like deep and broken inside. I say not. I say it's much better to have somebody who isn't going to shoot people.
And also someone who's real.
Anyway, yeah, Lucy's solution, she basically asks a gay male friend about it, and he says that the most of the power is in the suit. You have to imagine Don in something ridiculous. I put him in a kilt, first of all, but I actually think that works really well. I think harem pants are the only way you can safely go. Now, this is the picture that accompanies this article.
Yeah, I find that attractive, actually.
Don Draper in big baggy pants looks amazing. But that's the recommendation. So the trouble is, you see, like, I've got an Alan Rickman obsession. And actually, he looks good in anything. Absolutely. Like, literally, in that bit in Harry Potter, in the third Harry Potter film, where he has to wear a dress with a big owl on it. Oh, yes. Still words.
I propose a third amendment to the Sunday Supplement Constitution. Any mention of Rickman automatically disqualifies you from the segment.
I prefer the third one, which is anything to do with Simon either not being able to sleep, wanting a cup of coffee, or protesting that something sounds a bit like the word arse, or making a farty noise, or reference to some sort of sucking.
So the fourth amendment is Simon talks, he loses.
I win!
Time you've all been waiting for, then. It's article.
Quarter to seven, that's a good time to wait for.
Or farcical.
Quarter to seven is when prep was over and we could go down to the canteen for dinner. Yay!
No, quarter to seven's a rubbish time. 9 o'clock is the best time. Because that's when all the good comedy used to be on.
No, 9 o'clock's awful because you realise that whatever you were planning to do that evening, unless you started it by 9 o'clock, it's not going to get done.
See, no, you're obviously not an insomniac because you start work as an insomniac at about 11:30.
We're insomniacs, didn't it?
That would have been a very bad Warner Brothers cartoon.
Yeah, so we're insomniacs. They probably were. Come join the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot. They can't sleep, so they run around a lot. They drink a lot of caffeine, and then they feel like shot.
Shit.
No, it's more, it doesn't work. I can't. See, if I was a good comedian, I'd be able to sort of, you know, come up with really witty things immediately and understand things like singing and scansion.
Scansion?
Yeah, you know, scanning. So scansion is a thing now. I invent words.
Well, you also invent articles.
I do invent articles, which is what I will do now. One of these articles, Simon, is not in the Saturday Guardian. It isn't there. It's not there. But three of them are. So question is, dear readers and dear Simon, and when I say dear, I just mean cheap. Well, dear means expensive. No, don't chirpy, chirpy, cheap, cheap at me. That's horrible. So which one is an article? Which one is a farcical? Are you ready, Simon?
Yep.
Voyage around my brother.
Is that like they've made a device that makes a spaceship really small?
I'm not telling.
And you can inject it through the ear and you end up inside your brother.
The next article is from the fashion section, which I think they didn't really do much effort on. The future's bright. The future's, well, any colour really.
Oh.
Then we have Nutmeg Nightmare.
Now, is that about football or catering?
Catering.
Oh, okay. Because a nutmeg nightmare would be like letting in an easy, soft goal. Whereas a nutmeg nightmare would be, what, just a bit too much nutmeg.
And this from the music section, Arctic Junkies.
Arctic Junkies. Right.
So, Simon, which one is the farcical? Is it Voyage Round My Brother? Is it The Future's Bright, The Future's Well, Any Colour Really? Is it Nutmeg Nightmare? Or is it Arctic Junkies? You decide.
Well, it's Arctic Junkies. You pulled the Arctic Junkies out of your anal passage.
Can we not talk about my anal passage? There's a difference between saying out of your bottom and out your anal passage.
Said it now. It's been recorded for posterity.
Oh, I love the way that you actually put a semicolon in between. It's been recorded for posterity. There was a semicolon there.
There was.
It could have been an equal sign, but it really wouldn't have worked. So, Simon is saying that Arctic Junkies is farcical because he thinks that's the only pun and therefore I'm only capable of puns. Is this correct?
I'm not saying you're only capable of puns. I'm just saying you're partial to a pun.
And he's avoiding the alliteration of Nutmeg Nightmare.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you made that up.
What, Nutmeg Nightmare?
Yeah.
Well, if I had made that up, what would you say?
Oh, no. I appear to have lost again.
Well, Simon, alas, you have not lost.
Did I win?
I made
That's what I do if I win. I do a little celebratory dance.
But that wasn't a dance. That was
I was dancing when I did it, but it's the medium of radio doesn't allow for visual metaphor.
I'd heard no flesh slappage, so I don't believe you.
It's not an orgy. There's not an orgy going on in my house.
But no, but when you dance, you could just hear the slap of bits of Simon hitting the bits of Simon. Just the sort of like, as you lift your legs.
If you were an Arctic junkie, you'd really go cold turkey.
Cold penguin.
How would you eat a penguin?
I'd freeze it and lick it.
Oh, well, I'd freeze it, but I'd hold it by its feet, and then I'd, like a calippo, I'd, like, fillet
suck its
head.
Well, yeah, that'd be dangerous because they've got quite spiky beaks.
Television, then. Now, there's been a lot of talk over the last few years about how to make Formula One much more interesting, and I thought the best way to do it would be just strewn around the track. They should have piles of empty cardboard boxes, a fruit stall on a hairpin, and every now and again, just on the pit lane, people with panes of glass just walking across.
No. You're overcomplicating everything. Ejector seat. And basically, halfway through a race, they press an ejector seat and somebody gets flung up into the air.
It should be, like, controlled by the crowd. They should be voting, but you shouldn't see what the vote is.
Yeah.
And just suddenly, Yano Trulli gets flung into the sky.
It'd be amazing. Also, what you could do is, like, you know, on Wipeout, on the original Wipeout on PlayStation, you could basically go two different ways. And one was like a lot of straights, which was longer, and the other was a lot of hairpins, which were shorter. A loop the loop. You should have a straight which loops the loop, and then another one which has a few chicanes in, which will take longer. So you have to be pretty brave to do the loop the loop, especially during the ejector seat time, because then you just get fired into the ground.
And nose-mounted rocket launchers.
Yeah, and mines. You should be able to lay mines. And instead of a pit lane, just an electronic field that you go through and that goes... And then you go off again.
Red Dwarf is going to be on again this week.
Three
new episodes of it.
And apparently Rimmer has not aged well.
To be honest, he looks really the same in the pictures I've got.
Oh, cool.
There's a picture of Robert Llewellyn putting his Crichton mask on. And he's making... Sorry, they're actually pulling it off, but he's making a face that looks like Vic Mackey's special love face.
Oh, dear.
It's really horrible.
I've got Small Town Heroes. After 12 years, South Park's potty mouth satire still, like, totally rules.
Has that been on 12 years?
It's bizarre, isn't it? But, yeah. Hell. They've got quotes. So, Stan, oh, my God, Jay Leno's chin killed Kenny. You asked him?
Come on, children, let's go find ourselves a nice white woman to make love to.
I can't believe that's 12 years. That just makes me feel old.
It's so good.
It's really good an episode at a time, but if it's not a show that you can watch in any kind of marathon.
It's no Wire.
No. Well, I wouldn't compare it to The Wire, but you could. There are comedy series that you could watch, you know, in a chain.
Same with Family Guy and The Simpsons, though.
I agree.
I think it might be a cartoon thing. I don't know.
The movie's excellent as well.
Blame Canada. I've also got an interview with Fern Britton, and Fern Britton is amazing.
Does she talk about quitting this morning because she wasn't being paid enough?
It's one of those little Q&A ones that we've done before. So it's like, what's your most embarrassing moment? Pulling a long hair from Patrick Duffy's from Bobby Ewing's jumper.
Bobby Ewing.
I don't know who is.
Oh, God, you're not even old enough to remember Dallas, are you?
No.
God.
Anyway. Pulling a long hair from Patrick Duffy's jumper, only to find that it was attached to his chest. Tell us a joke. Which is Amy Winehouse's favourite station? Can you guess, Simon?
No.
High Barnet.
We finally get round to reading out some of your letters then. Wow. They're not even letters, are they? They're tweets this week, mostly.
They're mostly tweets, so keep tweeting me. I enjoy that. So that's not tweeting. Tweeting is going, lol, ruffle. Things like that. That's tweeting. Most of my tweets this week were actually related to a question, which is, if you seek Amy, which is a song by Britney Spears, which I didn't get.
I actually had an article about this in one of my supplements a couple of weeks ago, and I nearly talked about it, but I thought that you would already know about it, if that makes sense. So I'm a bit annoyed now that you didn't know If You Seek Amy. F-U-C-K, isn't it? And she's not the first person to do it.
Probably not, no.
They listed all the songs where they've done it before.
Ease-a-good, Ebenezer-good.
No, but literally If You Seek Amy, not even just other types of thing. I mean, Ease-a-good is about ecstasy, is it?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like, ease a good.
That's not subtle, though, is it?
It's really not.
Marijuana's nice.
Yeah.
What did you ask? What did it mean?
Yeah, basically. So I had a lot of message from Al Jor and The Girl in the Pearl, which is Eleanor. I know that. Dark Winterthorn.
Yeah.
Tracy and MD Stillman, who he's got a very sexy picture. He's looking up with his chin out in front of a bookshelf, so he looks very clever.
It looks like Mussolini by the sounds of it.
Better than Tracy, who's got a big moustache on, but we'll leave that. So I put on my status, I'm bothering Halliburton, just so all my hippie friends will go, yeah, right on, man, which they did. Thank you, Jez. So then Brian Dunning from Skeptoid, which is skeptoid.com and the podcast Skeptoid, amazing, amazing podcast, added me and said, bothering Halliburton, did you first pause to ask yourself what Jesus would do? And I said, yes, but I didn't have any whores or lepers. And Brian said, would not Simon adequately substitute for both? Exactly. And then I replied saying he would, which is one reason why Jesus was before his time.
So hang on, I'm a leprous whore.
You
I'd
are
be a rubbish whore.
You
if,
would.
If you think about it.
Yeah, well, you'd be a cheap whore.
I'd leave a bit of myself with every one of my clients.
You need to work on your marketing. I think we need to get you some kinky boots. But anyway, do please email and write to us because we miss you and we love you and we want to have your babies.
It's sundaypodcast@hotmail.com. Izzy's tweet is twitter.com/.
ISZI_Lawrence.
You can write on our Facebook wall. You can message us via Facebook and you can write comments on our website at www.sundaysupplement.com.
We like hearing from you, so, you know, do get
unless you call it We're a Leprous Whore.
The podcast Skeptoid is really good, and I've got both of his books as well. They're really good. Recommended to the hilt. Go listen to that. He's got very authoritative voices, Brian.
That doesn't make his assertion that I'm a leprous whore any better.
I think it does. You could put that on your posters now. Leprous Whore. Skeptoid.com.
What's your humdonger then? This is our new section where we pick out the worst bits.
They've basically gone, oh no, we've got this to fill. What should we put in? So, Simon, what have you got?
How to wear leggings. You put them on. It's pretty much as I can see, but they've derived a whole page about it. And it's in the section called How to Get Dressed.
I've got a section called How to Get Dressed. Hang on. My one is How to Dress.
It's not by Lisa Armstrong, is it?
No, it's by Jess Cartner-Morley, which is an excellent name, and Alexis Petridis.
So regarding leggings, Lisa says, is there any other choice on days when it's too warm for tights and too cool to bare your legs? And anyway, something weird and blotchy has happened to your skin over winter, so it resembles tiramisu. I think not. This conversation is akin to the Pope rethinking condoms.
I don't think the Pope does much rethinking on condoms, to be fair. Is that her point?
She's saying, is it that important to the world about leggings? Well, they'd be rubbish condoms, wouldn't they? They'd be pretty good for Zaphod, because you could use two. Cover is two schlongs, but they wouldn't
well,
be very protective.
Well, it's three if it's Mark Green Davies. But anyway, so, seen and heard, I've got, and it's literally an entire page interview with Marina, who is 8, on English Manners, Little Brothers and Moving to Japan.
That actually sounds quite good. She's 8 and she's talking about manners.
But it's kind of like, what the frigging... And it's literally like, being 8 is different from being 7. You feel a lot of and excited. When my little brother Santi was born, I felt annoyed because he got all the attention. I couldn't speak to Mummy about it because I was too young to speak.
What would have been good is if they'd done that with an 8-year-old Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, it would have been amazing. It's like, I want whiskey. Mummy's from Mexico. English and Mexican people do things a lot differently. If someone asked someone if they wanted something in England, they would say, no, you have it. And then they say, I'm fine. In Mexico, they just say yes or no straight away. But the last thing that she says, this is her big ending, okay, which is, I've asked people this before, but no one actually knows who found or who created water. If God made it, everybody describes him as a person. But if he's a person, who made him? I don't really understand.
Atheism summed up by an 8-year-old. Fantastic. Relationships, then.
Relationships are... In The Guardian, there is a column called Blind Date, where they send two Guardian readers on a date together.
Uh-huh.
And the girl's slightly more keen on the guy, because the first impressions, the girl says, what a beautiful smile, glad to see he's ordered a gin and tonic. You know, quite nice, quite like, oh, here's his friendly, big smile, great scarf.
Okay.
What made me like this was that man's name is Mugabe. So it's like Mugabe on Sophie and Sophie on Mugabe.
I got a spread with Russell Brand, which is the wrong word to use with Russell Brand.
You don't want to spread Russell anywhere. Oh, dear. Ooh.
You know, they put those big quotes that are always misquoted bits of the article.
Yeah.
So they say, I want to kill the Queen. And then you read the article say, my mate said, I want to kill the Queen. And I laughed.
Yeah.
But there's one saying, my mate once said to me, it's like you have one girlfriend who happens to have 1,000 faces. That'd be weird.
That would be, I mean, there's not enough room on a human body for 1,000 faces.
Well, it depends how big the faces are. They can be like tiny little faces all over your skull.
Speaking as one of the few of my generation who hasn't slept with Russell Brand, I mean, the man's a whore, but that's allowed.
You will get your letter in the post saying it is your week to sleep with him, though.
Oh, God. I'm not going to. I mean, I don't know what I'd find nesting in that hair. His hair's full of scutters.
For Red Dwarf.
Poor old Russell. But then again, he does set himself up for it.
Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week. Inevitably, Izzy will interrupt me at any moment and go, me. It was me. I had the best ones. I'm better than you because you're rubbish.
Well, the thing is, we agreed that we're doing a Saturday edition this week. And I said, I'm going to get The Guardian before I'd even seen it. And I could have gone in and got any other paper, but I trusted The Guardian that much to be that good. And it didn't fail me. It was really cool.
Oh, so you're suggesting because you, on blind faith, thought you'd have the better ones, you should win.
It's customer loyalty. I just think it's the best of the thing. I also have, which we never got round to, which because I forgot to mention it earlier, The Best Kept Secrets in Britain, which is full of little landmarks and that sort of thing where you can find all the secrets of Britain, like places where they have weird post boxes and the narrowest street in Britain, which is 60 centimetres wide.
Or the tree from Hogwarts that you found.
I found the tree from Hogwarts. Oh, yes. But you're not going to get me to mention Snape and you know who because you just said that I'm not allowed to.
Yeah, yeah, but we had to abandon that idea because your retort was that if I talk, I lose. So those two amendments are gone.
I think that's been a long-standing rule of this game. However,
I do think that you should win, right? And
hey.
I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because your Humdonger article, whilst you presented it as a bad article, I think was possibly the best thing in all the papers that we talked about this week. So you have to concede defeat in the Humdonger section in order to win the entire supplement.
Ah, that's fair enough. But I think it still counts as a Humdonger because it really was just crowbarring in page space. But then it was
filler, yeah. It was definitely filler. I agree with you there. But it just turned out that it was really good filler.
Yeah. Like raspberry donut with raspberry jam in.
No, custard's better in a donut. So you kind of thought it was raspberry, but it actually turned out to be custard.
Oh, chocolate custard.
Oh, yeah. See, now, I could have talked about an article all about the anniversary of the moon landings, but it just depressed me because it just reminded me that I'm never going to be an astronaut. So there we go. The paper you should have bought this week was a chocolate custard-filled donut of...
The Guardian on Saturday. And Guide to Secret Britain, which was actually really quite good, and I'm sorry I forgot to talk about it.
That's all right. Join us next week.
Yeah, join us. Join us together. Go, you know, there's no Grand Prix next week, so I imagine we're back to normal.
Yeah, that's true. We will be.
So, no.
It will be Easter Sunday papers, of course. So, oh, we'll have to have Easter eggs. We'll have an Easter egg off.
Oh, can we eat chocolate all the way through?
Okay.
Yes!
So next week, you'll hear us munching on eggs.
Oh, in the good pagan tradition, because Jesus laid an egg on Easter.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.